Jonathan Swift. Jonathan Swift was born in Ireland and educated at Trinity College, Dublin, in 1667. In 1689, he left Ireland to go to England, and for the next 10 years, he served as a secretary to William Temple. In 1694, Swift became an Anglican priest. After Sir William Temple's death in 1699, he moved back to Ireland. Around 1713, Swift, along with Alexander Pope, William Congreve and John Gay, formed a group of satirists known as the Scriblerus Club. In 1742, he was declared insane after a period of ill health. In 1745, Jonathan Swift died and is buried in Dublin. Literary production. In 1704, Swift published anonymously his first major satirical work, A Tale of a Tub, followed by several other pamphlets. It was not until 1726 that he published his masterpiece, Gulliver's Travels. 3 years later, in 1729, Swift published A Modest Proposal, a grotesque satire on the Irish problem of overpopulation and food shortage and indifference of the English towards them. In this savagely funny text, Swift suggests that babies make a succulent dish, especially when boiled, and so comes up with a solution both to overpopulation and to starvation. Gulliver's Travels, 1726. The story. Gulliver's Travels is divided into four parts. Part 1, the hero, ship's surgeon Lemuel Gulliver, describes his shipwreck off the island of Lilliput. The Lilliputians, he discovers, are tiny people only 6 inches tall. During his stay on Lilliput, he learns about the local customs and culture, and about the country's political system. He agrees to help the people in the war against another island, Blefuscu, after which he returns to England. Part 2. Gulliver sets off for India, but after a series of misadventures, finds himself abandoned on the island of Brobdingnag, whose inhabitants are all giants. The situation's part 1 is reversed, as Gulliver is now regarded as something like a living doll that children can play with. He's sold to the Queen and has some discussions with the King about the political situation in Europe before returning to England. Part 3. Gulliver lands on the amazing flying island of Laputa with its capital Lagado, which is populated by philosophers and scientists, all involved in bizarre and futile scientific research and speculations. The inventions in this part of the book, though designed to ridicule scientific invention, inadvertently anticipate many future technological and artistic developments. From here, Gulliver journeys to another two islands, Glubbridub and Lugnuck, each with their own absurdities. These also have a connection with the future, such as the immortal but infirm Stolberg of Lugnuck, who anticipates a society in which the elderly can be kept alive long into old age despite their sufferings. Part 4. Gulliver arrives in a land ruled by intelligent horses who call themselves the Hunims, which is also the name of the island. They are served by a filthy, bestial, subhuman race called the Yahoos. Again, Gulliver spends his time trying to learn the language and the ways of the Hunims. He assimilates them so well that when he returns home to his wife and children, he finds himself disgusted by their humanness. Stylistic features. Gulliver's Travels has for a long time been considered a children's classic because of the wonderfully absurd imagination of its images and the simplicity of its prose. Swift declares at the beginning of the novel that the style is very plain and simple. We know that he used to read passages aloud to his servants to make sure that every sentence followed these rigorous standards of simplicity. Gulliver, like Crusoe, is a matter-of-fact man who recalls the marvels he sees with careful detail in the language of the traveller, who speaks with great seriousness about what he sees, what he has seen, and wants to be believed. However, the novel's dense mixture of fantasy, political satire, moral fable, and playfulness renders it a highly complex work, and critics have debated what Swift's intentions actually were. Many have regarded it as a misanthropic book, a vicious attack on the human race as a whole. The book's defenders, on the other hand, say that the book is a satire of man's hypocrisy, vanity, and cruelty, a small-mindedness, and absurd pretensions. When Gulliver's Travels was published anonymously in 1726, it was instantly successful. One report said that 10,000 copies were sold in 3 weeks, which was remarkable for the time. Immediate translations were made into French and Dutch, and weekly journals started printing pirated extracts. Interpretations. Although Gulliver's Travels is a book which works on many levels, critics have suggested that it has a political or allegorical dimension. The four voyages may be interpreted as follows. First journey. The diminutive Lilliputians, although a well-organized society, can be seen to represent cruelty, pettiness, and provincialism, the way Swift saw the England of his time. Critics have suggested that the politicians in the story were modeled on the leading political figures of Swift's time. Though they are initially kind to him, the Lilliputians see Gulliver as a giant baby, a huge body controlled by its physical needs. Their only use for him is as a weapon to destroy their enemies. Second journey. The giant's abrading neck represent human vanity and self-love. Gulliver's descriptions of their bodies, which to him are enormous, reveal a mixture of fascination for and disgust and repulsion towards the human body, which may be seen as an obstacle to spiritual growth. But here the diminished Gulliver is identified with the Lilliputian, so in a way Gulliver is able to see how the Lilliputian saw him. This parallel is further emphasized by the king's response to Gulliver's account of England, when he says that the majority of the English appear to be the most pernicious race of little odious vermin that nature never suffered to crawl upon the surface of the earth. Third journey. The Lilliputians can be seen as a parody of the pretensions of abstract intellectual thinking, which has no connection to reality. The island flies above the ground. And also as a satire on England's military and colonial ambitions. The king threatens to land the island on any dissenting subjects, literally crushing them to death. This was probably a satirical attack against the members of the Royal Society, including Newton. However, seen from a distance, the world of the Lilliputians is also a world of lightness, where ideas are liberated from the constraints of reality. Fourth journey. The land of the Houyhnhnms, where horses rule over a bestial subhuman race called the Yahoos, is one of the best examples of Swiftian reversal. We are made to see Gulliver from the perspective of the horses, who think at first that Gulliver is a Yahoo. Gulliver tries to convince them that his own race is not at all like the Yahoos, but from the horse's point of view, the picture he portrays of the violent and vicious society he comes from merely confirms that, underneath the masquerade of civilization, humans are indeed just like Yahoos, only more sophisticated in their barbarisms.